Okay, well, my name's Rick Taylor. I will be your presenter for the next hour and 15 minutes or so. I am a senior technical architect with a company called Perficient, based out of the United States. Formerly of Microsoft, I worked for BPOS, and my customers were Nokia and Coca-Cola. And I've been working with SharePoint since 2001. And contributing author on all of the admin companion books, and I like it. I am probably the biggest SharePoint bigot in the universe. I run SharePoint in my house. I have four kids, and I am really, really strict about the homework, and so. I have them, all in the schools where my kids go, all the books and everything are online. And so I download them, and I put them in a document library, and each kid has their own document library. They do their homework, and they check it in, kicks off a workflow. Oh, we're on a different time. I was going to show you the email that I get at 4:07 p.m. It lets me know who's done their homework. And typically, my oldest, she's very good at it. The second one, she's not so good at it. Third one, she's okay. And the fourth one's not very good at it either. So even ones are odd. But yes, so I really, really enjoy it. But one thing that I found, I think we've all found out about SharePoint is it is not just a single product that does one thing. And it's a good thing that it does many things, but it's also a bad thing because it does so many things and it can break in so many places. And it causes sometimes more problems than it solves. And that's why we still have jobs. one of the projects that I'm working on for a major manufacturing company in the United States deals with identity management. And the reason for this is, identity management is nothing new. It's been around for even before computers, right? We're going to talk about what identity management is in this session. I'm going to try to tie it together with SharePoint because it has it's a little complex when you're dealing with other entities, which is one of the reasons why we use SharePoint. Before it was, in 2001, it was just something that was cool. It was under everybody's desk on a server, and it was great. You could dump all these documents and show everybody how cool it looked. 2003 became a little bit more sophisticated. There were still things underneath the desk, and things were getting a little bit crazy, and everybody kind of woke up and said, hey, SharePoint's a big thing. And then 2007 came out, and we weren't quite ready. And now here's 2010, and everybody's jumping on it. But we haven't really given it enough thought as to, you know what, when we want to extend this thing for business reasons to our partners, to our vendors, suppliers, it's a little bit complex. It can do some things, but there's things that we need to do before. And the four-letter word that we hate, plan. We hate that word. Planning. Another word we hate, governance. Okay, those two things are very, very important, especially when we talk about identity management. Okay, dealing with planning and dealing with governance in SharePoint projects is kind of like having the sex talk with your kids. You know you need to have it. No one really wants to be there. Everybody's a little bit uncomfortable. But you know if you don't have it, you're going to have some problems later. Planning and governance are key to making this successful. And when it comes to identity management, it is no different. So we're going to spend some time talking about identity management. This is a little bit about me. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, And one thing that I do want to do, I want to thank these gentlemen because there's a lot of information out there. No one is an expert in everything in SharePoint. I mean, it's that big of a product. These three gentlemen, unbeknownst to themselves, they don't even know that they're on this slide, but they have touched on different pieces of identity management that have helped me create a solution for my customers. And so I want you to know that I stand on the shoulders of giants. Okay? And these are three people that have helped me immensely. So I wanted to talk about that. Okay, so identity management. We're going to tell you, the agenda's much larger than this, but everything that we're going to talk about kind of boils down to what is identity management. And I'll abbreviate that as IDM. Why is it important, and what does it have to do with SharePoint? I'll talk a little bit about the project. It's a manufacturing company. They have suppliers, they have vendors, they have customers, they have employees, just like most companies. They want to use SharePoint to do what it is that they do. Internally, that's not a problem. I mean, even I have SharePoint in my house, so that's not a big deal. But when you want to go and extend it to people who you may not even know, then things start to get a little bit different because you don't know who's coming in. So security is going to play a big part. Who is that's coming in? How do I extend this so that it doesn't break? Well, it's going to break anyway, but how do I extend this so that they can't do it on purpose very easily? And how do I keep track of that? So that's what we're going to talk about. Okay, identity management is majorly knowing who is who, where is where, what is what. And then taking that information and being able to put it somewhere safe where I can retrieve it or be able to create those entities and put them somewhere safe. I want to make this information accessible. I want someone to be able to get to it. I want them to see what I want them to see and no more, but enough that they can do what it is that they need to do. I want to make sure that there are the appropriate relationships between these entities so that they can interact. So if I have a supplier and I have a vendor, I need to be able to make this connection. So I need to know who they are, what they do, maybe where they are, and make the connection to the other entity and all of those things. So we'll talk about these entities and we'll say that they're objects, okay, because it's SharePoint and it's Microsoft. So we'll call them objects. Okay, so an identity management store is the object that holds all of this information. Okay, so it'll be in a structured, it could be in a database, okay, of one sort or another. It could be held in a website. It could be held anywhere. Okay, so we want to understand that how does SharePoint do all that it does? Okay, so let's break it down. If I just have one SharePoint server, where does it store its objects? SQL, right? If I go to a document library and I click on an object, which is typically some document, right, it's going to retrieve that from SQL. Okay, now, I'm a user. I go to a URL. What does it do? It needs to verify who I am, right? It needs to say that, okay, yes, you have access to this, right? So first, there's some authentication that's happening. And it's got to ask someone, right, and then challenge me, and then verify that I have rights to do whatever it is that I'm asking it to do. And all of this information is stored somewhere. Okay, so managing all this is very, very important. Okay, so hygiene is very, very important. Okay, these objects, these identities, okay, are verified, they're authorized and authenticated from some source. Okay, typically, where are these objects, users, authenticated? Active Directory, right? Is someone using a different store? What if you have, what are you using for your store, for objects, for your user objects? SQL Server, okay. Anyone using something other than that? Client certificate. So you're storing, so is SharePoint going to the certificate, or is SharePoint looking at the certificate and going somewhere else to verify it? Right? Now, I'll tell you a story that I had a customer that their user objects were stored in Active Directory, but they also wanted to pull their profiles, which were not stored in Active Directory. The objects were stored in a Novell E directory. And they wanted SharePoint to be able to crawl this E directory. Okay? Sometimes those things are not stored in SQL or somewhere else. So we need to be able to get it from some authoritative source, because in this case, the authoritative source for the profiles was this Novell E directory. Okay? Now, where are these identities created? In your case, how many of you create user objects? Okay? Where do you create them? You create your user objects in SharePoint? So you go to SharePoint to create a user? You use custom code. Ooh. Wow, is this an automated process? Almost. I have a card for you. Yeah. Now, most of the time, we create our user objects in Active Directory, and we authorize these user objects in Active Directory to get access to SharePoint. Most of the time. Or you may be more bold and create a custom code where you can go to SharePoint and say, I want you to create this user object, and please work. And you can create those user objects there. Okay, now, are you auditing those users? You are. So you provision them there? Do you deprovision them there as well? You wrote this. And you monitor who creates the user objects and... what is this product called? Do you sell it? That's a very, very good product, that one that does that. That's very good. It's very bold. Okay? Secure them. Okay? Where does it store those user objects? In SQL? Okay? And most times, right, you can store them in SQL, you can store them somewhere else. Okay? How do they get validated? For example, you go to this website and create your user, stores it in SQL, and this user object is then goes around and does whatever it does. How does it get authenticated? Wow. So you wrote a custom provider as well. Do you use claims? Okay. It works, huh? That's all that matters, isn't it? That it works. Okay. Good. Okay, and we need to make sure that the privacy, right? We don't want to let anyone see more information than they need to. Okay, so the sharing of, sometimes you want to share these identities. For example, in the case of our customer, they have a vendor and a supplier, and if there is a correct match, for example, they need to ship 1,000 kilos of concrete, and this vendor needs 1,000 kilos of concrete, we need to make sure that those identities are shared so that they know where to drop it. They need to know where to go. So all of this is all part of identity management because we're managing these identities. Okay, so there's basically four pieces of identity management that are very important that we focus on. First, authentication. Okay, we need to know who they are. Then there's authorization. Do they have permission to do whatever it is that they're asking to do? Then there's access control. Okay, how do we give them access? Okay. And then auditing. We need to make sure that we're tracking what they're doing. Now, in SharePoint, in the SharePoint world, authentication was pretty easy because mostly everyone was getting authenticated from Active Directory. In some cases, they were getting authenticated in SQL. Not that big of a deal. Okay, authorization. That got a little bit more tricky because now, where are the permissions stored in SharePoint? That might be a trick question. Where are the permissions stored in SharePoint? SQL? And? How about the object itself? Is everything stored in SQL for SharePoint? Can I have an external content source that does not reside in SQL? For example, I configure an external content source, which is a file server, because they're CAD documents and they're huge and I don't want to put those in SQL. Can I do that? Sure. And I just put those in a list. And what happens? When the user clicks on it, it actually goes back to the server where those are. Where are those permissions stored? Actually, they're stored at the server, right? Because if, where's the object reside? On the file server. So the user goes to the list, they click on it, SharePoint then redirects to the file server. The file server says, oh, this is who you are. Do you have permission here? So I have permissions everywhere. Okay, so authorization may be a little bit tricky. Now, let's suppose my role changes in the company. Now I have to change my permissions. Or what if I want to know what permissions this group has across all my sites? Has that been a problem in the past? I want to know who all the site collection administrators are for this web app. I want to know who all the site collection admins are here. I've got four farms. I want to know who has access to these site collections. It gets to be a pain, and then especially if I have to change them. That became a problem. Okay, there were third-party applications that we could buy, very expensive, to go ahead and change these things or to look at these things. It was very, very difficult to manage the access control list for all of these user objects. But that was part of identity management. Okay, how did they get there? Okay, that was another thing. If this actually goes back to the NT4 days. If I put a share on a folder, on a file server, and I said that anybody who's in this group has read access, but I created another share at the same location. I said anybody who's in this group has read, write, delete access. If I were a member of both those groups, which set of permissions did I get? I got them all. And I had to manage that. Depending upon where I accessed from, right? If I accessed it using a certain UNC, I might have these rights. If I accessed it using a different UNC, I may have these rights. So I want to make sure that I know from where they're coming. In the case of my project, I have people coming in from the internet. I have people coming in from internal. I have people coming in through a VPN. These are three entry points to the same place. I have to manage that. The employees may be located on the local LAN where the farm is. They may also come in from the internet from their homes using a RSA fob. And then I've got the external users. Or what if the users didn't have an RSA fob and they had to come in and out? How are they going to authenticate then? These are the issues that I'm dealing with now. And then making sure that I know who's doing it, how often, for how long, auditing and keeping those logs. Now, in the case of SharePoint, how does SharePoint address these four A's? Okay, authentication. Okay, process of validating that someone is who they say they are. So there's typically a challenge and a response. For example, I have a bank card and I go to the machine, the ATM, and it says, okay, you have something in, there's something in your possession. So that's half of it. Then it's going to challenge me for a PIN number. If I get the PIN number right, then whatever it is that I hold must belong to me. Okay, I log into SharePoint. It challenges me for a username and password. Well, if you have the username and you know the password, then it must be you. I've authenticated you. In the case of my client, they're coming in from the internet. What we're going to use is an email address. So it looks at the email address and it says, okay, if this is your email address, then what's the password for this email address? If it is an internal email address and that password is correct, you get to see this. If the email address belongs to a vendor and the password is correct, then you see this. If the email address is something I do not recognize, you get denied. That's authentication. Okay? And then in the real world, right? Driver's license. You get pulled over, the police officer asks you for your driver's license. And then if the officer knows what they're doing, they may ask you, is this your correct address? What's your correct address? You know, things like that. All right. So in the world of authentication, when we're talking about SharePoint 2010, claims, authentication is one of the new features of SharePoint 2010. I did a talk at another conference that talked about claims. And, you know, it's one of those features that is a double-edged sword. It's great because it allows you a lot more flexibility to be authenticated, but it doesn't work with everything. As a matter of fact, if you're thinking about using claims authentication, do not think about Excel services. Do not think about PowerPoint services. Do not think about Power Pivot. It will break. Okay? Those services do not work if you are going to enable claims authentication. Okay? However, on the other hand, if I have different types of systems, for example, Siebel or Oracle or SAP, and they understand SAML, claims is the way to go. This was one of the things that I wish 2007 would have had. You could make, well, we didn't, the identity framework hadn't been written yet at the time that I was working with it, but we had an issue, for example, in that case of the eDirectory. It was ugly. I had to get the information and kick it out to a database and then have the BDC pick it up and put it up in a list. It was just yuck. And now, hey, with the BCS, it's beautiful. It just sucks it all in. Okay, so what does claims do, right? Claims is a bunch of assertions that it makes about me, right? My name, my email address, my age. And what happens is SharePoint says, okay, the STS will then build me a token. Okay? And those that STS will build me a token, and then with that token, I will take it around and present it to whatever it is that I need to. It will take that token and say, yep, you know, the people who make a claim that their blog get access to this, and there you go. So it's a very, very nice technology. There's some things that are a little bit kludgy. Windows Live ID. Someone has got it to work, and I've done it in a lab, but I haven't quite seen a practical use for Live ID. I mean, why not just have your own or use OAuth or something like that? But it works, and it's very nice. Windows Identity Framework is behind the STS. There's a book by Vittorio Bertacci called Claims-Based Identities. It's a free ebook that you can get from TechNet. I highly recommend that you read it. It's a very easy read. Lots of big pictures. And it reads very easy, and it's a very good, gives you a very good understanding of what claims is and how it works. Okay, so for those of you who are not familiar with it, let's say that I make a claim about something. Okay, it depends on if I'm going to trust that place that understands your trust. For example, I'm driving a car and I'm going too fast, and the police officer pulls me over and I pull out my hotel key. Is that going to go over very well? No. Is this who I am? I'm making a claim that I am staying at the Hilton. Yes, but that claim is no good to the police officer. He doesn't trust the Hilton that I am who I say I am. He is only going to, or she is only going to trust the Department of Motor Vehicles that issues me my driver's license, not anybody else. And that's what claims is all about. Who are you going to trust? So in the case of my client, right, with SharePoint, I've got suppliers, I've got vendors. They're going to have something that's going to hold those tokens that my client's STS is going to trust. Okay, those are the endpoints. We're using ADFS. So we put in ADFS, and our ADFS is going to trust their ADFS, and then as long as those are set up correctly, then those trusts will be accepted and the user will be able to get their token. So it's not so much a technical ability as much as a trust scenario. Okay, so if you take SharePoint out of the equation, it's kind of funny. The only native Windows Identity Framework-based application that exists is SharePoint 2010 right now. You can write one, and the ebook actually gives you guidelines on how to write claims-aware applications. Okay, so the benefit is you can now create these applications that will trust these STS, and you'll be able to issue claims and issue tokens based upon that. So it's very, very nice. Okay, now you can explore custom claims providers and augmentation. There is a nice write-up by Steve Peschka, one of the SharePoint Rangers, on doing augmentation of claims. He does a very good write-up on that. And for example, you would build an application that SharePoint wants to expose these claims. And then you could put that piece of code in there. Let's say it was to a CRM system that authorizes the sales manager role. Okay, then if you wanted to use Office or SharePoint 2007, for example, that uses security groups, right, you can use the synchronization engine and then copy those roles into SharePoint. Very, very nice. And you can also search and resolve the claims. There is a little thing for those, anyone thinking about augmenting claims? Okay, there's, if, are they fresh 2010 installations? Okay, so you won't have the issue. If you upgrade, you're going to have a little issue with how it authenticates. Now it's the I:0 pound sign or hash sign instead of the authentication provider slash. That's one of the things. And it doesn't change it automatically in your web.config file, so you'll have to change that. Okay, so authentication is one piece. Authorization is the other. Okay, do you have permission to do this? That got ugly in large installations of SharePoint. Typically, it's dynamic. It changes all the time. As people's roles change, as content changes, then you know the authorization may change. So we need to make sure that we understand this if we're building an IDM solution. Okay, access control. All right, these are, should be. They should be policy-based, okay? If you're going to build an, and if you're going to have SharePoint 2010, you really, really need to have an identity management solution. Okay, I'm going to talk about a couple of them in a bit. But this solution needs to have policies, rules that are wrapped around these things, because if you don't, you are going to have chaos. Okay? SharePoint is like a chaos magnet. As soon as you have made the decision to use SharePoint, you have invited chaos into your life. You will be up long nights trying to figure out how something works or how to fix something that broke. That's just the nature of the beast. Okay? If you're going to have a good IDM solution, okay, use RBAC or role-based access controls. Okay, applying access controls can be complex. Okay, the NIST, which is the National Institute of Standards, actually wrote a post. If you go to their website, you'll actually be able to see all of the specifications for RBAC systems, for roles-based access control systems. So I would highly recommend that you read that. Okay. Okay. In a RBAC system, you typically have four levels here. You have users, roles, permissions, objects, and operations. Okay, users, everybody knows what a user is. Okay. Permissions, objects, roles. Now, in you can create roles. If, you, for example, if I have FBA and I'm using SQL as the provider and as the user store, I create roles there. Okay, that's very good. If I'm not going to use SQL as my provider, then I have to have some other store. Then we have SharePoint groups. But if you're going to use SharePoint groups for your roles and you're going to use Active Directory groups, you're going to have problems, okay, because they're going to conflict eventually. So you need to come up with some kind of system that will allow you to use roles specifically. Okay, and then those permissions you're going to assign to those roles. You have to have a system that's going to be able to move people in and out of these roles as the permissions change as well. Okay, now, because you've got the perfect system. Yeah, it works. Okay, so you can automatically provision. You can deprovision. Do you assign them roles? Okay, so as the roles change, is it dynamic then? Okay. Is it basically used for external users then? Okay. Is it a forms-based site then? Okay. Okay. So it's a forms-based site, and then as the users come in, they're automatically provisioned, assigned a role. Oh, okay.
And then after a couple of days or even weeks, the sales guy says, okay, I want that move.
You want to see? That's very nice. Okay, so basically it's the sales guy says, hey, this customer here needs to be into this role. When I go ahead and I create it, it's automatic. They get access to the site. If the guy or girl, whoever, doesn't need it anymore, they remove them. Very nice. Okay, so you've even got your operations flow in there. Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Okay, so you're way ahead of me. Okay, so yeah, access control is very important. Okay, so characteristics of a good IDM solution. Okay, view, create, modify, delete users, which is what you're able to do. Okay, how about passwords? Ah. Now, is this only for external users? Okay. Now, in our case, we have internals and external. Not so worried about the external users because they get authenticated right on the outside and then they get in. But my internal users have access to line of business apps. And unfortunately, guess what? There's a login for each one. They have a SAP login. They have a PeopleSoft login. They've got an Oracle login. And there are different passwords, different password policies on each of those. And do you think they remember all of those passwords? How often is the IT help desk asked, can you reset my password? Can you reset my password? Is there any way that we could synchronize these passwords? I just want to use one password. Is there any way that we could use single sign-on? I want to sign in one time and give me access to everything. Well, that's good and that's bad. Because if I hack you and I get your password, I got access to everything that you've got. Okay, so there has to be some, and I mean, we talk about collaboration, right? SharePoint, and then we talk about security, and you know they're diametrically opposed. I mean, the more collaborative I am, by nature, the less secure I am. The more secure I am by nature, the less collaborative I can be. Where is that happy medium for you? Okay? I need to be able to add and remove users at will. I should be able to change passwords. If I forget my password, I shouldn't have to make a phone call. Okay? That's part of identity management. I want to take the load off of IT help desk. They got a bunch of other things that they need to worry about, like keeping Exchange up. I can't get my email. Let email be down for like somebody way up there. Someone's losing their job. They don't have time to be messing with you who can't remember your password. Okay, approve and reject requests. So typically, in this case, right, I log in. Oh, you know what? I created a site like that at FBA. So what they did, it was a web part. So they went to this website, and they were brand new. And they typed in a username and a password and an email address. And they would click on go. And what it did was it created a user for them that gave them rights to that site. And it also sent a new password to the email that they put in there. So the next time that they went to that site, they had to log in with that username that they created and the password that the system generated to them. Yeah, I use something like that. But it wasn't auto deprovisioning. Got me there. Okay, so like if the user said, oh, there was no auditing either. So that user stayed there indefinitely. And there was nothing that was checking how, you know, the last login to automatically kick them out. So I failed. Okay, but I'm getting better this time. Okay, so when we look at that, these are the sorts of things that we want to have characteristics. Okay, so the whole concept of account lifecycle. Okay, we want to manage the statement We want to manage the state of an account. We want to manage the state of anything, right? The document library, the lists, the objects that are sitting there in SharePoint. I had a customer. We were going to deploy SharePoint, and I said, you know, you really need to clean up your documents because we're going to create a whole new taxonomy and information architecture, and you need to know what you have. Okay. They all got into a huddle. We went to lunch. I came back, and they said, this engagement is for 2 days. That's correct. We're going to pay you for your 2 days. Thank you very much. You can go home now. Okay. Is anything wrong? Nope. We're not ready. They knew. They had too much garbage. They had documents there from like 1970-something. And I said, can you delete it? No, 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 no. What is it? We don't know. Well, why can't you delete it? Because we don't know what it is. You don't know what it is, but you can't, you know, you have to, someone has to take a stand here. Delete that thing. And they just couldn't do it. I just got word about 3 months ago that they have decided to go forward with it. You know when I saw them? 2003. 7 years to get to the point where they could delete that stupid document and whatever else they had. Hey, if it takes it, whatever it takes, but you know, you got to have some kind of order, okay? Things need to be self-service too, okay? So in this case, the self-provisioning, I want to reset my password. I want to take this off of IT help desk. Okay, delegated administration. I want to give it to, how many of you have self-service sites right now? So I did some consulting at Intel, and what they did was, it wasn't exactly self-service, but it was, so they still took the load off of IT help. What they did, what Intel did was they said, okay, we're going to have this online training, and you have to get approval. If you go there and you click, I want the training, sends an email off to your manager. Can this person take this training? Yes. If this person takes this training and they pass, then they become a site collection admin. So once they take the class, they pass it, it automatically put them in the site collection admins group. They were able to create a site collection for their team. And they were responsible for its management. So that took a whole load off of IT. But it, as you understand, it created a big mess too. Because do you think they policed it? Right? It's like, how many of you do backups regularly? You know you're lying. You do them as often as you can get away with, or as, you know, hey, that's what we are. I mean, that's just, that's life. But yeah, delegated administration is very important. Okay, now, profile management. Okay, this is a way that we manage who is who. External databases, directories, applications, all of this information that is just out there. How many of you have a Facebook account? How many of you have a Twitter account? How many of you have an eHarmony account? Did you find anybody? No. Okay, so somebody's got to manage all that. Okay, in some cases, which I really like, right, those systems trust each other. It's like, you know what? If I go to YouTube, it's like, you can log in with your Google account. Well, that's because they own them now, right? But there are some other cases where you can log in with some other account that they trust. Foursquare and Twitter trust each other. So if I log into one, I can just use the one account. I click on it, and it says, okay, what's your password there? And he trusts it, and he goes. That is profile management. Windows Live is beautiful for that. Oh, actually, just Live. If I change my avatar in Zoom, it changes it in MSN Messenger. It changes it on Windows Live. It's beautiful. Okay, that's how you can manage. I want to be able to go anywhere to manage whatever it is that I need. And it's me. I self-service it. Okay, identity management solutions. Okay, personalization, right? It's got to know who I am. It should say, hello, Slick Rick. Welcome. Would you like whatever today? No, that's okay. Thank you. I would like some of this. Okay, scalability. 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people. Shouldn't matter. Okay, portability. This business got bought by another business. I shouldn't have to rip and replace. I should just be able to say, okay, you are now, you used to be company A, you got bought by company B, now we're all company B. Shouldn't matter. We all should be happy. Okay, good identity managements also support VPNs. Okay, they also support PKI. Oh, as a matter of fact, I'm getting ready to talk about an identity management system. How many of you are very familiar with PKI? Get comfortable. Remember how they told you about PowerShell? And you're like, oh. See, I'm one of those old school IT admins. Fought. I didn't want to learn how to script. I just stay away from the dark place. Every time I had to write a script, I felt like I needed to take a shower. I got over that. And then they threw STS ADM. I'm like, okay, I'll learn that one. And now they put PowerShell. I'm like, oh, doggone it. And now I like it. I really like it. I'm going to make my kids learn it. PowerShell is great. Okay. All right, SSO. Okay. And then other lookup services, DNS. Okay. That's one, I think that was probably one of the very first management of identities, okay, back in the late 60s, right? The domain name system. Okay, they came up with these authoritative servers that knew who these domain names or who owned these domains. And they're now called the root servers. Okay, and your DNS server in your hierarchy will eventually trust that DNS server out there. Okay, so some of the challenges. So, any challenge, right? Whenever we're doing a project, whenever we're working with SharePoint, what is our biggest enemy? It's a four-letter word. Then it has the word me in it. Time. You come up with this great solution. And you're like, how much time is it going to take us to implement this? Oh, that's too long. All right, so then you start whittling down the solution to fit the time barrier. And what do you get? Something that you're going to have to fix later. And you're going to end up spending more time than you would have had you done it right the first time. What is it? You never enough time to do it right, but always enough time to do it over. Spend the time to do it. Okay? There are two kinds of challenges. There's business challenge, and there's technical challenges. They both require time. But guess what? One trumps the other. And which do you think that is? Who pays you? Okay, so ours is the challenge of understanding what the business needs and then relaying to the business, this is what it's going to take. This much money and this much time. And then let the business decide if they really need it. Do I really need this? Because you can't have this. You can only get this. Okay. Okay, good. So, technical says, okay, Who's going to be, in the case of identity management, who's going to be the owner of these identities? Is it going to be Active Directory? Is it going to be SQL? Is it going to be something else? Okay, who's going to update those? How are they going to get synchronized? How are they going to get updated? Who's going to audit them? Okay, the business is concerned with, okay, how much is this going to cost me? Okay, whose butt do I'm going to have to kiss in order to make this work? Okay, and how much money do I have in the bank when I get sued if this doesn't work? Okay, I used to work for Microsoft, and there's this entity called LSA, right? The legal arm. Good grief. You couldn't go to the bathroom without talking to those guys. And they were always looking to get you on something. In Redmond, there's one lawyer for every 7 employees. You know, it's America, right? Yeah. I wrote a book. We had some CDs. I had to go to 3 lawyers. I'm like, it's mine. No, belongs to us. Dang, it's yours then. Publish it. Not so fast, oh girl. Yeah. Craziness. But yes, legal concerns will take a long, long time sometimes to resolve something. Okay. SharePoint identity management challenges. Okay, so if you're going to use claims, for example, in my opinion, the only real scenario for claims-based authentication is in an extranet scenario. There's no real reason to use it for intranet. Whatever it is that you're using, take SharePoint out of the picture. What are you using now to authenticate and authorize yourself? Whatever it is, now when I put SharePoint in there, why can't I use that? Why do I really even need claims? Ask yourself that question. You should ask yourself, do you really need SharePoint? Of course you need SharePoint. Of course you do. It's the answer to everything. It's going to make you more money, make you more handsome. It'll cut your cost, make you faster, stronger, better. Women will be coming from all over to come. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's the real issue. That is, in my opinion, the only real deployment for that. Industry best practices for SharePoint 2010 aren't really established yet. I mean, they haven't been. Best practice, we've had it for less than a year. How can there be a best practice? Okay, Microsoft recommends, for example, that enterprises place a SharePoint site in the network's DMZ. That's their recommendation. Okay, but that can cause a whole bunch of other problems. Okay, so you know what is the best practice? So you have to really look at that. All right, so I need to hurry up here. Okay, purpose of a good IDM solution. Okay, we want to automate. We want to take the heat off of other people. We want to make it as smooth sailing. We want this thing to be like the kit car. A Knight Rider. Hello, Michael. I mean, we want it to do just exactly like that. We want it to be smooth. Okay, so Microsoft has come up with some tools, some very cool tools. Unfortunately, the cooler a tool is, the more complex it is because it can do more stuff. It's like a 747 versus a Cessna 190. I have a wheel. I've got a gas. I got some gauges, or a 747 where I got 10 zillion buttons and switches that you better not touch anything. Well, that's what we're getting ready to talk about. Okay, Forefront Identity Manager. Beautiful tool. Okay. SharePoint has a scaled-down version. Okay. In order to get, In order to get it to work, okay, there is a guide. I think it's called the Rational Guide. Spence Harbaugh wrote it. The Rational Guide to User Profile Sync. If you're going to use this, you need to follow that guide exactly as it's written. If you deviate, you will break it. And you will be cussing at yourself, and you will want to give up SharePoint. You'll go get drunk one night and never come home. You need to follow that guide exactly. Okay? Problem is, even if you get it to work and you get it to start, okay, you can only sync one way. It's not even really a sync. It's an update. Okay, so if I change something here, SharePoint says, oh, okay, I'll update it. If I update it in SharePoint, it'll update the one thing in Active Directory. That's it. What if I want to use BCS? Nope. What if I want to use Oracle? Nope. SAP? Nope. Okay, does the one thing, and does it okay if you follow that guide exactly. Now, you can get the Cadillac version, Forefront Identity Manager. Hey, does everything. $747. Okay, synchronization with foreign directories, account provisioning, account deprovisioning, password resets, self-service. You can do everything with that. Okay, when you're in SharePoint, right, and you've got user profile sync working, okay, and you go to central admin, services on server, then you can go ahead and you can look at FIM. Okay, there are two services, the Forefront Identity Manager service and the Identity Manager Synchronization service. If you got the full version, then you also get the portal. Okay, so there's a caveat that I'll tell you about that. But you know, there's actually two portals, and you don't get those with SharePoint. And you can't use both. Use one or the other. When you install it, it'll have a little box down at the end, and it'll say External Identity Manager or the SharePoint Identity Manager. It's a radio button. You get to choose one or the other. If you choose External, it shuts off User Profile Sync. Okay? And if you go back and you turn it, then it shuts down the other one. So you have to use one or the other. Okay? SharePoint FIM, this is an example of what it looks like. Okay? If you get User Profile Sync to work, and you go to that path that's in red, you can fire up FIM for SharePoint, and this is an example of one of the user interfaces that you'll have. Okay, so there's a number of parts. I'm going to kind of go through these quick. Okay, so there's an operations tab, management agents, metaverse, designer, and search. There's another session tomorrow by Michael Knoll, and I think he goes into the installing of FIM. So you'll actually be able to see how this all works. Okay, so the operations tab will show you all the operations that are carried out, for example, what's syncing. Then there's management agents, okay, which actually there's only three. Then there's the metaverse designer, okay, and that's the configuration for basically what, I'll show you a diagram of what the metaverse is. And then there's the joiner, which connects the space objects. Okay, so here's the management agents tab. These are the three management agents that you get with SharePoint: Active Directory, connectivity, and the FIM service management agent. Okay, the MOS-GUID there in the extensible connectivity. Okay, and then it actually maps back to some code, Microsoft Office.interop.word.dll, something like that, and user profiles. All right, the full-blown deal, Forefront Identity Manager. Okay, love this product. I set it up, and I don't touch it. Okay, that's it. I have a demo that I do in another session, and I use an HR application called Notepad. right? Username, email address, whatever, and then it just reads the notepad and then it syncs it. That's it. Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't put SAP on my laptop. Okay, so it basically goes through all this and it's automatic, okay? It supports application controls. It supports federation. You can use it with ADFS. As a matter of fact, with my client, that's what we're doing. So they've got all these other foreign directories, so their suppliers are coming in. They log in. There's another portal in the back if they need to change their SCAT code, which is the national code for whatever it is that they do. They can update that, and it updates the system. It's very nice. Okay, so I wish I had a laser pointer. But okay, so FIM's got the portal. It's got the sync service. It's also got certificate management, and it can get stuff out of directory, out of Active Directory, and push things to Active Directory. It can get stuff out of whatever relying party database and pull it out. So in the case of SharePoint, okay, SharePoint is the claims-based web application. Okay, SharePoint 2010 is a claims-aware-based application. The web client is where you come in. So you coming in at a browser, you're going to hit UAG, which is the firewall. So in our case, what happens is UAG says, you know what? I'm looking at your IP address. If your IP address is in this range, you must be internal. If you're internal, then I'm going to redirect you to a page that's going to say log in with your ID. It's going to hit that identity provider. In this case, we're going to use ADFS, and he says, okay, here's your token. These are the claims, and then they'll be able to get to SharePoint, and then they'll be able to do whatever it is that they do. If your IP address falls outside that range, you get redirected to a different page. And then you get the claims there, and then you'll be able to get to SharePoint. Okay, this is the interface. You notice anything strange about this? Look at that. What does that look like? 2010 is not supported. If you install Forefront Identity Manager, right, you get the CD and you throw it in there, it will need Windows SharePoint Services 2007. If you put it on SharePoint Foundation or SharePoint Server 2010, it will fail. Known bug? They said, well, that's by design. I called them on that. Yeah, it has to be 2007. Okay, but it's still, you know, pretty something. I want to create a new group. I want to create a new user. It's automatic, and then it kicks off a workflow. There's an email that comes in to my manager that says, hey, there's a new user that needs to be. Do you want to prove it? Yep. User gets created. All the roles are there. If I need to change the roles, I can do that from here as well. So if a user gets promoted, the HR then goes to the FIM portal and they say, hey, so-and-so gets a pay grade change and so on, and it automatically syncs it back to Active Directory. If Paul becomes Pauline, same thing. Syncs it all back. Okay, so all of this happens through workflow. So there's a request. It looks at the request and it says, yep, this is good. Authenticates that the person is good to go. Their permissions are straight. It goes to the FIM service database, syncs it, and the action happens. Very, very nice. Provisioning. Okay, so HR says, okay, here's a user. This is actually how Microsoft does it, right? When I went to Microsoft, I didn't see a piece of paper at all. I got an email to my Hotmail address. And it says, welcome to Microsoft. Click here. This is your username. This is your manager. This is your building, whatever. Click here if you would like the bus to come and pack all your stuff up to move you to Redmond. Click. Kicked off another email. I was like, wow, they got another email. Another email that says, What day would you like? Fill out this form. I said, submit. Got another email. Wow, these guys are good. And it says, you know, what date do you want to get in? Blah, 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 blah. How many people are in your family? When would you like to go here? Next thing I know, here's an email coming from the airline. Here are your tickets. I kid you not. With all the names, birth dates, and everything. Cool. Print out the boarding passes. That was the only paper, and it came from me. I get up there. I show up. My key card's already there. I just show up. And when you ever move offices, it's all the... You just put little stickies on, you know, like here's my desk. And I put the sticky on there, and it knows to move it. If the sticky's not there, it stays there. So you got to put a sticky on everything. And then it's got a little map and where you want stuff. And they do it. You just come in all of a sudden, and it's all there. It's amazing. Okay? That's how this happens. There's a workflow that kicks off. The manager says, yep, it's good to go. And then provisions the user wherever the user needs to get access. Okay? If that ever has to be deprovisioned, it works the same way. Okay? So let's suppose that in an old system, right, I've got an HR system, a SQL Server database, but they're different things, right? I've got my given name is Sammy, but in one system, but I go by my last name in another system. What FIM will do is it will say, okay, I'm going to take the information that is authoritative in each of those systems. I'm going to create a user object here, and I am going to sync this information back to those back-end databases that may have incorrect or missing information, and it will fill it in. It automatically does that. And so now when the user logs in, they only have to log in once with the same information everywhere. If someone gets fired, they move or whatever, the same process. Please take this person out of those groups and put them in new groups. It's automatic. Okay, user profile management, you can, and it's self-servicing. So if I ever change my name, I can change my name. Okay, you can extend this, of course, in the cloud. We're doing this, as a matter of fact, for my client. It's not Azure, but it is, I have another talk on cloud. Okay, so software as a service, infrastructure as a service, platform as a service. All of those, okay, it will work. So what's the difference between SharePoint FIM and supported FIM? If you get the big FIM, you get everything. If you use the SharePoint FIM, you get partial to none of the functionality. It may be good enough if all you're using is Active Directory. If you have other back-end systems, you will probably need to do what this gentleman did and write your own, or use the big FIM. All right, so downside. Okay, if you're going to use FIM, they are. If you use, oh yeah, you can't even use MOS 2007. You have to use WSS. Okay, so WSS is the only thing that's supported. Okay, and SQL Server Express is not supported either. And you can't use both. You have to use one or the other. All right. So, in conclusion, you should have these things for an identity management system. So now, here's the takeaway. You're going to go back to your places of business, and you're going to look at your SharePoint infrastructure, and you're going to say, okay, how do we create users now? Is it onesie, twosie? Does someone actually have to do this? How do I streamline this? How do I know who's doing it? Are those accounts being audited? What is the lifecycle management of these accounts? How do I know that all of these accounts are active? When's the last time they logged in? Am I auditing that? How often? Where are all these user accounts being stored? Do I have other user accounts in other directories? Are passwords synchronized? Is it automatic? Who has to reset passwords if my users forget them? Do I have password lockout policies? Am I using group policies? software distribution, all of these things. When you throw SharePoint in the mix, all of these things now become more important than they were before. Why? Because SharePoint is a beast. It touches everything. So you need to make sure that, you know, we've all been saying, you know, you need to do this, you need to do this, and we put it off, and then we install SharePoint, and now all of a sudden it's an emergency. We need to pay attention to that.